Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, November 6th, Election Day. Hope everybody is want to go vote. I'm going to do it after the show, and I ain't telling you who because I don't want anybody yelling at me. But anyway, the racing season's coming down to a close. So we're going to wrap things up for Texas. Busy weekend. All three NASCAR series in action. NHRA off this past week, wrapping up their season this weekend. NASCAR going to Phoenix this weekend. So things are winding down. So, where do we go? Where do we go? Oh, IMS and Chairman, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, chairman of the board emeritus, Mary Holman George, passed away at the age of 83. Her father was the one who saved the Indianapolis Motor Speedway from demolition after World War II. So, and she's the mother of Tony George, who was the founder of the IndyCar series. That's before when they separated from CART Championship Auto Racing teams. They went off on their own to A, being they owned the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, commandeered the Indy 500, and ran ovals. Likes of which of were Tony Stewart, Sam Hornish Jr., a lot of the guys that are in NASCAR now came through. John Andretti, all the NASCAR guys remember him. So Mary Holman George was the daughter of business magnate Anton Holman Jr. and Mary French Holman. Mary, who was spelled her name with an I. She was born in 1934. Her father bought Indianapolis Motor Speedway in November of 1945. I guess she was part of the racing pretty much her whole life. Her and her longtime family friend, before her 21st birthday, formed HOW Racing Team, which fielded American Automobile Association and USAC Sprint and National Championship cars for several drivers. One of the famous names you might remember is Tony Bettenhausen. And Elmer George, who actually, she wound up marrying, so. She fielded an entry in the Indy 500 in 62 and 63 with her husband driving. Finished a career best 17th in 62, receiving relief help from Paul Russo and H.A. Foyt. That's interesting. There's a similar friendship with Foyt, who she met a year before his 1958 Indianapolis 500 debut. Was it still a cherished family friend? They celebrated the 50th anniversary of Foyt's full 500 victory in 61 and the 100th anniversary of the inaugural Indianapolis 500 by putting the golden brick at the start-finish line. So, and she became a friends with two people that were there on Memorial Day weekend. Of course, one of those things, of course, Jim Nabors, who always used to sing song about Indianapolis and Indiana, and then Florence Henderson as well. So, there's a lot of ties to that in motorsports in the indie world. So, it's just a sad day in motorsports when an icon like that, I knew she was getting old, and we used to see her. She's the one actually giving the command up until, I guess, she couldn't do it anymore a few years ago. But I thought she was older than 83, but, you know, people age differently than that. So, Godspeed, Mary, and you've done a lot for the world of racing. And of course, NASCAR, which in later years when the Indianapolis 500 was the only race in town. They expanded to allow NASCAR for the Brickyard 400. And then they expanded to run the U.S. Grand Prix there, which lasted a little while, and then they did away with it. I don't know about. And then now they run two races at Indy in the IndyCar Series. Of course, the Indy 500 on Memorial Day weekend, which is an iconic to the world of motorsports. I think the Indy 500, which is over 100 years old, is the most iconic race in the world. You have drivers from everywhere wanting to compete. NASCAR drivers, Tony Stewart, Johnny Andretti, Kurt Busch, Robbie Gordon, all have pulled double duty and ran the Indy 500 and then switched to the Coke 600 to run what I'd like to affectionately call the Memorial Day 1100. Two grueling races in one day, including a travel time. It's not like they're running from... It's not like Indianapolis is a stone's throw from Charlotte Motor Speedway, so there's a lot of logistics involved to get the driver from point A to point B. And then Tony Stewart did the best, finishing in the top 10 in both on the time he won, so... And he also was an IndyCar champion as well as three-time Sprint Cup. Oh, now it's Monster Energy Cup. When he got it was the Sprint Cup. And he also won a Winston Cup. So as a driver, he's probably the only one to win, I don't know, maybe not, the only one to win two out of the three different trophies. He's not driving anymore, so he's going to get a Monster Energy Owner's Cup. So we'll see what happens. Matter of fact, one of his drivers, we'll get to that, is on the Virgin. I picked it last week, so we'll go from there. Other news, NHRA. Courtney Anders Lambert begins pro stock motorcycle licensing. If the Anders name sounds familiar, that's Erica's younger sister. I tried to get Erica on. Maybe I'll try to get Courtney on as well, but she's usually pretty busy. Started testing a pro stock motorcycle, one of Jerry Savoy's, and so we'll have to keep an eye on her. She was testing burnout, so to get the balance. She had a few people keeping an eye on her while she was practicing that. Matt and Angie Smith, sister Erica, elite team owner Richard Freeman, and fellow racers Alex Laughlin and Joey Gladstone. She represents Joey Gladstone, does his media as well, so. And she's also a physical trainer. Busy lady. Allie always talks about Erica when she was, I mean, about Courtney when Erica was on, and I think Courtney was running a gym, so we used to promote Courtney's ventures. So maybe Richard Freeman of Elite Motorsports might be adding a pro stock motorcycle team to his repertoire. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, going into the final race at Pomona, This is how things look for the NHRA. Top fuel, I don't. Steve Torrance, he's already got it locked up. He's a 231-point lead over Clay Milliken, who actually turned it on in the countdown to get to second. So Tony Schumacher is third. He's 264 back, but I can't. See anybody making up when you only have 80 points, 83 with qualifying. If you're within 83 points of first place, you have a slim chance. You have to be down below 20, below 40, or at least 40. It's two rounds, so 60 at best. That's three rounds, so. But 231, give that Top Fuel Championship to Steve Torrance this year. He kind of thought he was going to get it last year, but Brittany Force took it from him. So we'll see what happens there. J.R. Todd now leading Funny Car points after a rough day for Robert Height down in Vegas. Todd with 70, and Todd went on the win. He's got a 74-point lead over Height. Now, is that one in the window? Yes, and here's what's gotta happen. Robert Height has been on the show. He couldn't get him on this year. Last year he came on, won the championship. Back in 09, he came on, won the championship. So, I'm just saying, he's got to have a perfect weekend. Number one qualifier, all the way and win the Wally. And he has to face JR in round one and beat him to take the title. That's the only way it's going to happen. It's technically down to those two, but things got to go right for Robert. Robert's been on the show. JR, if you want to, if you want to call in. But he had a call in today. I got to work on expanding the repertoire. I'm looking to get maybe we could put her over the edge for next year. So she has come from the small team to Schumacher Racing and climbed into contention, winning pretty regular now. But in Funny Car, J.R. Todd, if he gets past round one, he pretty much has it locked up. That's how tight it is. If he, he would have to get past round two, because that's only a 30 point. You get 10 points for losing the round, so that would be 30. I don't have my calculator handy, so. But Robert Height would need a perfect weekend and have to bump JR in round one. It would be his best case scenario. Pro Stock, who has it locked up. It's Tanner Gray, 140-point lead over Jeg Coughlin and 149-point lead over Erica. Erica had a couple of races and rough going in the countdown because she could either finish third or fourth. Drew Skillman is 21 points behind her, and teammate Vincent Nobile is 30 points behind her. So she can go from third to fifth. Hopefully, she can take the win and go out on a good note. But Tanner Gray has this one locked up. Pro Stock Motorcycle. Here's where it gets interesting. You have four riders 64 points apart. The tightest spot right now, Matt Smith, who leads, and Eddie Krawick, who is always up there every year. He's 4 points back. L.E. Tonglet in third at 61, and then the fourth one at 64 back is Hector Arana Jr. They can all do it. So I'm not picking anybody on this one, but if anybody can probably pull this one off, in my opinion, would be Eddie Krawick, 4 points back. The team of Vance Hines with Krawick and Andrew Hines riding their Harleys, you can't count them out. But I'd like to see somebody like Matt Smith win it. Just like when Hector Arana Jr. won it a few years back, it was great to see. This way he breaks up the tandem of Hines or Krawick winning just about every year. All righty. If you want to watch this race, NHRA Auto Club Finals. It'll be aired live Sunday, November 11th, Veterans Day. From 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. So if you're not into football and you want to go watch some NHRA drag racing, of course, I'll have to run picture in picture to watch the drag racing and Phoenix because they're going to be running about the same time, maybe an hour difference. But who knows? Anyway, the NHRA finals will be this coming Sunday. Then they have their banquet the 12th. It's like they go from Pomona to Los Angeles because we had John Force actually call in walking into the championship banquet in 2010 when he won number 15. How cool was that back in the old WNJC days? I might replace some of that in the off season, and I'm trying to figure out whether I should keep it on Tuesdays or move it to Sunday nights for a few months so I could do some other stuff and wait and see. Check out our Garage Talk. If you follow my Garage Talk Live page on Facebook or Twitter, which is at Garage Talk Live, the Twitter handle, and Facebook page, it's facebook.com/Garage Talk Live. Give it a like. If you want to give me a call, number is 646-649-1899. Anyway, that takes care of our NHRA. On to the main event of the weekend in the racing season of late, with everything pretty much wrapped up. It's coming down to who is going to win it. Well, we know Joey Logano locked in at Martinsville. And Cole Custer locked in as well. Actually, they're looking for this race coming up will be the elimination. And if you look at the points, Custer, well, let's go to the win in the Autodesk Ford. In the 00, he won stage two, led four times for a whopping 16 laps. That's right, 16 laps. Tyler Reddick came in second. He led 54 laps. He led the most laps of the day, led four times of that on the 200-lap event. It did go regulation, so Cole Custer locked in. Because last week's winner was not eligible. So we had a spoiler last week, or last time, and this time Cole Custer locks in. So Reddick is second, Austin Cindric is third. Two rookies, they're battling it out to get into that final championship four for the Xfinity Series. John Hunter Nemechek, fourth, Justin Allgaier. Wound up fifth. He led twice for 37 laps, so he was the third biggest lap leader. Brandon Jones was sixth. Matt Tift was seventh. Elliott Sadler, eighth. Spencer Gallagher, ninth. Rounding out the top ten is Daniel Hemric. And he led three times for 42 laps, so and the only other leader was Christopher Bell, who started from the pole, wound up in a wreck. He led once for 35 laps. So he led the first 35 laps, and everybody else split it up after that. So it was Custer's second Xfinity Series victory of his career. And he's not going to be in there too much longer because he's taking over the 41 next year for in place of Kurt Busch, who is ride shopping. 13 cautions for 54 laps. 17 lead changes amongst 8 drivers. Speed 116.82 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.162, so a little under 0.2 of a second. So made for a close race. Took 2 hours, 34 minutes, and 5 seconds. So with that being said, Custer locking in second place, and this is all because of points. It's coming down to the wire. Everybody going to Phoenix for the last lock-in. Should nobody win, here's what comes into play. Playoff points. So you're going to have Custer. Right now in points, is second is Reddick. Third is Sadler. Hemric is fourth. Allgaier fifth. Matt Tift is sixth. Christopher Bell seventh. And third place finisher Austin Cindric is on the bottom. So, here's what how it shapes out. Now, you would think according to points in this race, but playoff points can be earned and carried to the championship round. The only way to get playoff points, win the race, win your stage. So, when somebody wins the race in two stages, they get 7, and that's how people grow their playoff point total. Your second playoff point getter is Christopher Bell. He's 7th place. Now, I don't know. I have to really check with this, but we'll find the lineup after next week. Because if you go according to points, Reddick, Sadler, and Hemric would be 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and anybody below that, which would be Allgaier, Tift, Bell, and Cindric, should be eliminated. So we'll just wait and see what happens after this race. I'm assuming it should reshuffle. I think it did last year. That's what helped Truex make it into the final round because he had a bad week, and playoff points got him there. In the Truck Series off this past, they were in action at Texas, too. I should have went to them first. Justin Haley takes the win. Ben Rhodes, second. Brett Moffitt, third. Todd Gilliland, fourth. Austin Hill, fifth. Harrison Burton, sixth. Jesse Little, seventh. Stuart Friese in 8th, Matt Kraft in 9th, and Noah Gregson 10th. Pole sitter Johnny Sauter was 11th, but he don't have to worry. He's locked in. He won Martinsville. Josh Traome and Reed Wilson didn't make the field. Josh used to run for Beaver Motorsports. He used to be one of their mechanics. They gave him his first start. Now he is running as well. 7 cautions for 36 laps. 12 lead changes amongst 8 drivers. The race went 147 laps. I'd say that was the prescribed distance. And we had Todd Gilliland leading twice for 60 laps. He was your big lap leader. The points as they sit, Johnny Sauter is in the top spot. Brett Moffitt is second. Justin Haley is third. Noah Gregson is fourth. Enfinger is fifth, and Matt Crafton is sixth. After next week at Phoenix, 2 will go by the wayside. Playoff points-wise, it's not going to matter. The only one, Grant Enfinger has 18, third place. Justin Haley has 14. That could change. Gregson in fourth has 25. So, like I said, right now, Sauter and Haley have wins. They're locked in. That leaves one spot left for a lock-in, and then it comes down to points after that. So it's up to Moffitt, Gregson, Enfinger, and Crafton to get it done, especially Crafton on the outside looking in. He has to win because he's only got 3 playoff points, and he's also 6th in overall points. So he needs to win to get in. So we'll just have to wait and see at Phoenix. The race this weekend at Phoenix will be Friday night, November 9th, my birthday, 8:30, Fox Sports 1. In the Xfinity Series, like I said, Cole Custer, he is a lock in. Everybody else has one spot to get in. Cindric and Tift, only with Tift with 3 playoff points, Cindric with 1. They're in the bottom 3. The meat of the sandwich of that is Christopher Bell with 44, so there's a good chance that anyone wants to win, and we'll see what happens when it wins. Well, let's hear from our winners. And also the NASCAR K&N West Pro Series West Rookie of the Year. Kaylee Deegan, she drives for Bill McAnally.
All right, we're going to continue with our media availabilities. Here at Texas Motor Speedway, we are joined by Haley Deegan, who is the NASCAR K&N Pro Series West Sunoco Rookie of the Year. Haley, it's been a pretty exciting year for you. You got your first win earlier this year at Meridian Speedway. Why don't you just talk about what this year was like and what winning the Rookie of the Year means to you.
Yeah, this year has been really my dream season. Everything that we wanted to accomplish was accomplished this year. And with my crew, with my team, everyone on the BMR team, they gave me the opportunity to do that.
All right, we will open up to questions for Haley. We will start here with Jim and then go to Wolfgang.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. I was just wondering, could you kind of put into perspective 2 questions. First, how the season turned out and how it met, kind of how you thought it might play out. Did you expect to get a win this season? And second of all, do you have any idea of your progression of what you might be involved in next season?
Yeah, this season, really, it was just a learning year for me. I had a lot of goals I wanted to accomplish and I needed to accomplish just myself, just to keep, like, the ball rolling in my career. And I think that this year I knew I needed to get a win, even though it was, like, it could happen, it could not. But halfway through the season, I knew it was possible. Everything had to work out good. And for next year, I'm hoping to run back in the Kane and West Series for a championship.
Was that a Wolfgang?
Wolfgang Munzer from Germany Rennsport Press Agency. Maybe you know, next year, for the very first time worldwide in international motor racing, we will have a championship called Formula Woman, created by David Coulthard and the Red Bull F1 designer Adrian Newey. Is this maybe interesting for you that would we apply for that? It's open wheel racing.
Yeah, right now I'm not an open wheel racer. I came from off road racing, and it's a lot different than open wheel racing. Just the whole concept of it. It's almost like a different sport compared to dirt racing where I came from. NASCAR is more my suit of racing. I feel like coming from dirt racing, open wheels would be a lot of work. It'd be something that I don't know if I'd necessarily be as good at. It would take a lot of time to learn it.
There you have Haley Deegan. Maybe we can get her on in the off season. That's where a Sunday night show come in. See, when we go off season, then I go get young drivers. That's how I got Jenny Haraldson and Colette Davis, who you've probably seen in the Kia Forte commercials, and Danielle Stratton, who's doing other things, not so much racing anymore, but she's a model as well. But you know, here at Garage Talk Live, if there's an up-and-comer we can grab, we'll put them on the show and go from there. Anyway, we used to have Bill McAnally drivers on all the time. Sarah Fisher, when she was making the transition from IndyCar to NASCAR, she went by Richard Childress, because he used to be grow talent for Childress. And Sarah Fisher was supposed to drive for Childress, but she went to McAnally and got her taste of stock car racing, and you know how things work in NASCAR. But that's probably something that might happen. So I'd like to see a lot of lady drivers move up in the ranks. Formula Woman? I heard somebody, a German reporter, talk about that. I don't know. Like she said, she grew up off-road racing. So, well, anyway, let's get back to Justin Haley talking about his win, locking in a Final Four playoff spot in the Truck Series.
We are now joined by our race-winning team, which is the number 24 Fraternal Order of Eagles Chevrolet from GMS Racing. We are joined by the race-winning driver, Justin Haley, the crew chief, Kevin Bellacourt, and the team owner, Maury Gallagher. We will open it up to questions for our trio. We'll start here with Wolfgang.
Question for, what's your pronunciation? Kevin Bellacourt?
Bellacourt, yeah. That's plenty good.
It's a French name. Yeah, first of all, congratulations. I asked the same question earlier a couple of minutes ago to Todd Gilliland with the fuel situation. If my lap shot is correct, I mean, Justin pitted the last time for fuel in 121. What is the critical point? How much laps you can go with a totally full fuel tank?
Well, we could go 50 laps right at it. We knew that. So we were right at our window. I brought him one lap earlier than I was originally planning because pretty much everybody had already come down pit road and I saw what they were going to do. And we literally took just enough fuel to get two laps past the finish. So basically we had to figure out to where how many seconds of fuel I needed the flow rate for to make it to the end. So, and I wanted to put just a tiny bit in the bank in case I agree with my checker. So that's why I waited an extra second for two laps to the good. But it worked out really well. I knew the four truck had to be extremely close because of how far in front of us he got there. So I was hoping that would happen, but I wasn't sure. Obviously, I didn't know if they were good or not on fuel.
And how do you calculation? You have a simulation program?
It's all off of weight of the fuel can. We know how much the fuel weight is per gallon. And so once we figure out how much is in the cell, how much we put in it, how much we burned, we can figure out exactly what we need to get to the end. We're constantly checking our fuel mileage. Every time we pit, we recheck our fuel mileage.
Go to Jerry.
There's that PRN. You're locked in. You're going to be battling for a championship at Homestead. How's that feel?
Feels good. Obviously, we locked ourselves into the round of six early in Canada with that win, and now we locked ourselves early-ish. And you know, Johnny locked himself in at Martinsville. So to have both GMS trucks that were running in the playoffs locked in, and what it means for them, all the guys back in the shop, everyone at Chevy. Chevy's given us a tremendous amount of support this year, and it's been very helpful. So not only does it, you know, affect my emotions and help my stress level going to Phoenix and Kevin and the team, but it's a much bigger picture than just the 24 team. And, you know, you got over 100 employees at the shop that can really focus. This is our Homestead truck, and we're going to turn it around. So it means a lot.
There you have Justin Haley and his crew chief. So on to Cole Custer and his team talking about their Xfinity Series win and locking in.
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we're going to go ahead and continue on with our media availability here in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And we're joined by today's race-winning crew chief with the number 00 out of that sport, and that's Jeff Mendering. We also have Proud Papa on the far end. And also with Haas Racing, Joe Custer. So we're going to go ahead and open the floor for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We'll start with Wolfgang.
Then we'll go to Bob.
First of all, congratulations to both of you. I have a question to the crew chief. Also, the cars are different, Cup car and Xfinity cars. Did you get, from the engineering point of view, some help from your colleagues from the Cup camp necessary?
We use as much information as we can from them. Obviously, the cars are drastically different. The rule packages are quite a bit different, but there's things we could definitely use. I mean, there's higher information and stuff like that, but we use as much as we can.
Go to Bob and then to Dustin.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. Jeff, are you planning to turn around this car for Homestead, or do you have a different one for Homestead?
We're going to turn it around now, but it's going to be our backup car. We'll have a very good backup car in the trailer. But we've got a car that we've designated for Homestead that we're really happy with. Yeah, it did. It actually ran out at Vegas.
I'm up front here to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. For Joe or Jeff, or both of you. Obviously, we've seen speed. A lot of success out of Cole, but it's always a question about getting that next win. So what do the day to get that win that maybe has done in the past, or what kind of came together to get that win in that sense that everybody's kind of seen to see, now I got to finish it off?
I mean, he just drove his butt off on that last restart, honestly. He did good all day long. He stayed aggressive, and we were in a little bit of a point situation. We were down a little bit, and we knew that we had to be aggressive. He knew he had to be aggressive. We're probably in the past that we've always been on the conservative side and tried to points race our way in, and we didn't really have that luxury this time. So he stepped it up and did a great job and stayed aggressive, and because we can do the rest of the year now. I'm looking forward to Phoenix now, for sure.
I think it's been a question all year, you know, getting wins. That's what our owners want. That's what our sponsor, that's what Jabo and Cole. And so we were, I think, as a group, not completely satisfied with the year, although, you know, when you look at it, several second place races put ourselves in a position to win races. It just didn't happen. And that's what this series is all about for Stewart Haas Racing, is going to that next level and finding the little thing. And I think having the pressure on from a couple weeks ago, Buddy's A game, and you saw it in the garage, you'll see it next week. I think it was a pretty good show.
There you have the winning team, Cole Custer, his father, and his crew chief, all part of Stewart Haas Racing's farm system. It's amazing what Stewart Haas has become since Tony Stewart bought into the team as an owner-driver, he being the one of the few owner-drivers, of course, he wasn't like Alan Kulwicki Racing, where Kulwicki was the sole owner-driver, but still, when he won his third championship as the Sprint Cup Series driver, winning his other trophy, becoming to grow the team sort of like to where it is today, where you have every driver with a win this season, a few battling it out for a championship. So where it's coming down to it, where I picked it last week, Kevin Harvick led five times for 177 laps to take the win. But Ryan Blaney wasn't giving up the fight, though. Blaney, the pole setter, Harvick starting third, were duking it out up until like the final few laps and a few restarts because for a while there, like Blaney was got a lead and held it on, and it came down to another restart, and then Harvick got it back. I mean, it was good racing toward the end there. So Harvick took the win. He had a little trouble getting back. Joe Ryan Blaney was second. Joey Logano third. Three Fords in the top on the podium. Eric Jones, your first Toyota, in fourth. Kyle Larson, fifth. Chase Elliott, sixth. Kurt Busch, seventh. There's another Stewart Haas driver. Eric Amarola, eighth. Another Ford, Stewart Haas, taking over for Danica. He's done a lot better in that car than Danica has. Martin Truex, ninth, had some pit road penalties, battled back. And Austin Dillon rounded out the top 10. Eight cautions for 37 laps. Harvick with the win. It's his 45th in the Monster Energy Cup Series. So he's climbing up that ladder. That's a good bit of wins for him. He is one of the big three. 16 lead changes amongst seven drivers. So it would have been interesting if Ryan Blaney would have won that because he would have been, I think he would have been a spoiler. Let me take a look there. Yes, he would have been a spoiler because he was bounced in, I think, the round of 16. So right now you have Harvick locked in, Logano locked in, two Fords. So that leaves the only Fords that are still in it, and they're in the bottom four, is Kurt Busch, Eric Amarola, and Clint Bowyer, three Stewart Haas drivers. So only one of them could get in with a win this coming week, because after that it comes down to playoff points and overall points, where Kyle Busch is sitting pretty with 55. So he probably, if he doesn't win, is in. He will be your third or fourth winner. So that leaves it from your bottom five to get the win. But not only does Kyle Busch have 55 playoff points, he is third in overall points. And let's hear from Tony Stewart, the team owner, what he had to say on getting Kevin into the win. Kevin's looking for a second championship. Now, if you remember, Harvick drove all those years for Richard Childress and did not win a title. Kevin says, find the guys you want, and he wound up winning a title with Stewart Haas, his first. So let's hear what Tony has to say. Come on, smoke.
All right, we're going to continue with our post-race media availabilities here at Texas Motor Speedway after today's AAA Texas 500. We are joined by Tony Stewart, one of the co-owners of Stewart Haas Racing, and today's winning team, the number four Mobile One Ford with Kevin Harvick behind the wheel. We will open it up to questions for Tony. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start in the front with Bob.
Bob Hawkins, ESPN, dominated that race for so much, and there was a chance to just slip through his hand.
I think I was more worked up over the fact that, you know, he lost the lead there on the restart before that. So, you know, but as you sit there and watch, and when you can run his, you know, Ryan's pace and be that close to him, you know that if he gets by in clean air, he's a lot faster car. So, you know, when he got the lead back, at that point, he'd been through two restarts where he restarted on the bottom and almost lost the lead on the first one, then lost the lead on the second one. So he knew he was going to pick the outside lane at that point and would probably be all right. But, you know, he hadn't restarted out there the whole day. So, you know, you never know for sure what's going to happen, but at least at that point you give yourself a better opportunity knowing how, you know, Ryan had the outside figured out on that restart before.
Additional questions? We'll go to AJ. Right here. There's one coming behind you, AJ.
And now let's hear from our winning driver and crew chief, Kevin Harvick and Rodney Childers.
All right. We are going to wrap up our post-race media availabilities for today's AAA Texas 500 at Texas Motor Speedway. We are joined by members of our race-winning team, which is the number 4 Mobil 1 Ford. We have the driver, Kevin Harvick, and the crew chief, Rodney Childers. We will open up to questions for our race winners, and we're going to start up in the press box.
I have a question for Kevin. First of all, congratulations. Wolfgang Monza, Rennsport Press Agency from Germany. You dominated the majority of the race, and it looked relatively, for me, sorry to use this word, relatively easy, how you were chasing through the field like a hot knife through butter. Nevertheless, was there a scary moment when shortly before the end of the race, the last portion came out and you were a little bit under panic, maybe to lose the race?
Well, I mean, you never want to lose those types of days. You know, obviously Blaney had a good restart and we were able to get back by him. And at that particular point, I was like, we're not taking the bottom anymore. We're going to take the top and see what happens. And obviously it worked out a little bit better, you know, having the offense there of being on the outside and the side draft, you know, after you get past the start finish line. And, you know, it's nice to see the second groove was rubbered up as much as it was. And so it's, you know, wound up making the pass on the top there. So, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we've run well on the old style racetrack and the new style racetrack, you know, since I've been at Stuart Haas Racing, but for whatever reason, since they've repaved the place, I mean, it's just been lights out for us. I feel like we could have won every race here with the new pavement. So it's been interesting to see how it's changed and how much it's, you know, kind of come around to the things that we do with our cars. And you know, today was one of those days that just was there with the speed, but everybody executed well, whether it was, you know, on pit road or the pit box or, you know, late there with the restarts and made it happen. So it's a good time of year to have all that come around.
We're going to come over here to the left to Mark, and then we'll go to Bob.
I'm just looking for Mark Carroll. Oh, now we really got it. Mark Carroll, PRN. Question for both of you, same question. You guys have been great all year long, speed at just about every type of racetrack. How does it feel for both of you to make it pay off with a spot at Homestead and a chance to win the championship?
Well, I mean, really, that's what you race for, to, you know, to try to get yourself in position to get into the playoffs and then position yourself to have a chance to get to Homestead. So it's not easy, you know, this time of year, just because of the fact that everybody's throwing everything that they have at it, and all the notes and all the things that you've done all year are compiled into the cars that you have on the racetrack. And you know, it's tough to, you know, to win races at this point in the year. And so to get to victory lane, and that's our goal. I mean, that's how you control your destiny the most is to get to victory lane instead of counting your fingers and toes, you know, trying to figure out what you need to do. It's guaranteed if you go to victory lane and you're still in it. So, you know, these guys have been in these types of positions before when we haven't had points and put themselves, you know, in scenario. We put ourselves in scenarios to where we've had our backs against the wall and had to prepare at a high level. And that's really what we've done all year. And so when you do that day after day after day, and that preparation takes another step, it's a pretty refined step of details that goes along with it. So
it's fun to see the whole day come together. We've had a lot of really fast cars in the playoffs here. It's just the days haven't come together, and sometimes you go through phases like that, and luckily we've scored a lot of stage points and kept ourselves in the game, and that's what you got to do. Just hang around, survive in advance.
There's Kevin Harvick. Well, let's look ahead. So he's locked into the Final Four. Logano's locked into the Final Four. Are we going to find another Ford, or is it going to be a Toyota or a Chevy? Now, your biggest lap leader earlier this year was Kyle Busch. He led 128 laps. Wound up falling short to Kevin Harvick. Harvick at Phoenix is one of the guys you really – he's done well there. He's either finished first or second in a lot of the final races at Phoenix. But this race in the chase or the playoffs last season was an outsider. Matt Kenseth won, and he was eliminated, so he was kind of the spoiler. Chase Elliott was second, and Truex was third. Elliott was in the playoffs but needed to win to move on, and so was Truex. But the thing with Truex is he had a lot of playoff points in the bank, which carried him in. So Chase Elliott second in this race last season and third in the race this season. Now let's take a look at the standings. Is Elliott in it? Yes. Can he win this to lock in, be the only Chevy to lock in? Because, you know, like I said earlier, Kyle Busch has the most playoff points, and he'll if he doesn't win, he's automatically in just on that alone. So who am I going to go with? I don't know. It's a tough one. I'll take a long shot. I am going to go with the number 9 driver, Chase Elliott, who's had a pretty good run this year and seemed to turn it on when he needed to be. Chase Elliott did not lead a lap when he finished third, but might be stretching it a bit. Your stage winners in March were Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch. The Busch brothers won the stages, but Harvick won the race. But I don't know if Harvick's going to have it this week. So I'm going to go. I was either going to go with Chase Elliott or Kyle Busch. I'm going to go with Chase Elliott on a stretch. So that's my pick. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. We'll wrap up the NHRA season next week, and we'll look at Homestead. Good day and good racing. We'll see you all next week at noon right here on blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive.
All right, we're clear.